It's 9 minutes after six. Joining me in studio is Gary Boyson, who's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Gary, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So how did the markets do today?
Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. The currency was very, very stable. We continue to have a very boring month on the Rand-Dollar exchange rate, and we're still around 12 Rand there. The overall market up slightly, so up 0.11%, and really led by the healthcare stocks. So we saw Mediclinic up over 5% with no specific news on the company, but I think everyone perhaps positioning ahead of an expected trading update coming out later in the week. I also saw Netcare up there, and on the back foot, really the gold miners. So saw Anglo Gold coming off. Also saw Naspers following 10 cent down slightly, which also took a little bit of a shine off the industrials. But overall, yeah, a balanced day.
All right. So speaking of Tencent, and I'm just thinking of Chinese numbers came out, GDP numbers. What did you think of them?
Yeah, so, you know, again, this a slight beat on expectations, but there hasn't been much movement on these numbers. And it, as far as I understand, these are the Chinese reported numbers as well, which often called into question. But I think looking at the underlying movements in the Chinese economy, they definitely confirmed the shift towards a consumption-driven economy. We also understand that there's a lot of concern around the real estate sector as well, and the potential for that to overheat. And we know that the Chinese authorities are trying to, you know, take a little bit of wind out of the property sales. So altogether, yeah, I think didn't see too much movement on the back of it.
Okay, and U.S. side, we're in earnings season, so it's relatively busy. And I was talking to you off air that, as a financial journalist, I should get excited when our JSE companies publish numbers, and I am most of the time, but I don't get into the earnings season's frenzy that seems to kick in if you're, you know, on Wall Street.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you should. But I think it's also maybe the last couple of years. It's been a difficult place to report on in the local environment. But certainly when you get in companies, I mean, we had reports out of Netflix and Goldman Sachs overnight. And massive beats on earnings, big movements in the underlying share prices, huge potential growth opportunities for the companies. They're exciting stories to report on as well.
Especially if you are you a Netflix subscriber?
Yeah, I am a Netflix subscriber. We're talking about it off air, almost ashamedly. But yeah, looking at the business, I mean, it's an absolutely astounding business.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge variety of content supplied for next to nothing. And we saw the subscriber numbers coming in and beating expectations. So the market was looking for about 6.3 million new subscribers added. They got 7.4, which for the first quarter is not bad.
Yeah.
But what really astounds me is that this company only has 125 million subscribers altogether. And you kind of think of Netflix as a global brand, and yet it is a long way from a Facebook at 2.2 billion kind of monthly active users. So there's a lot of room for growth in this company still. And certainly I think their strategy of focusing on new content and really being able to supply a fantastic product for a very low price is paying off, and they're certainly winning people over.
During this period, when it's earnings seasons in the US, are there key companies that you look out or you seem excited to see their results? Because I think, for instance, David Shapiro will look at a Google or whichever other company he finds exciting. For you, which one is that?
Well, I think it's normally the companies that you hold. I think, you know, the tech offering in the US is just so fantastic. So, yeah. I mean, the likes of Google and even though we don't hold Tesla, I love listening to kind of the Tesla earnings calls, because Elon Musk is just fantastic to listen to. But, you kind of look at a lot of these US companies, and they're moving from strength to strength. So, I mean, this earnings season, I mean, we're still projecting that, underlying profits in US, the S&P 500 companies are going to raise over 18%. I mean, it's significant. I mean, these companies are making a lot more money than they have previously. And these are very exciting businesses. It's these are not, kind of run-of-the-mill kind of companies. These are companies that are changing the way that the world operates. And it is. It's an exciting place to be, and it's an exciting place to invest, certainly.
Locally, Onsend, I mean, there was nothing that sort of caught my attention and made me excited, but there were, trading statements out of Cartrack, Curro buying another school, I think Cooper College, and Zeta, delivering their numbers. Which one of those you know, did you glance at?
I had a quick look at Zeta, had a quick look at Cura as well. So Zeta, again, I think just suffering again from its kind of underlying investments. And I think the pessimism that we've come out of in South Africa and that playing through into the numbers. I mean, they also mentioned that they had, I know you're speaking to Norman later on, so I won't go into too much detail. But I know they had some issues around the maize pricing as well, which took a little bit of a shine off some of their larger investments. But I think South Africa as well, it's a difficult place to, it has been a difficult place to operate in, but I think you know that also presents a lot of value for investors, and I mean it's a place that I think certainly people could start to look at. I mean we've had the IMF now also upgrading their forecast for GDP growth in South Africa again to 1.5%. So certainly you do get a sense that we've turned the corner, and looking at some of these local players, and I think you know the likes of Curo, Zeta, these are exciting companies that are trading at the moment at a discount, and yes, feeling a little bit of a pain in their numbers, but because of the general operating environment and not necessarily because of the companies themselves.
What's your take on the US dollar? I mean, looking at what Trump tweets about, you know, the currency and what Russia or I think China was doing when it comes to currency play happening on that end, do you think that he might get what he wants where he has a weaker dollar?
It's difficult when the man in charge wants a weaker dollar. That certainly feeds into market expectations. But yeah, trying to predict currency movements is always very, very difficult because, you know, so much of it is influenced by, you know, central bank policy. It's influenced by now Donald Trump's Twitter feed. It's a difficult thing to predict. And at the moment, it's kind of balanced. I think if, you know, you do see a more hawkish Fed looking at the kind of fiscal policies that are coming into the U.S. and you do see interest rates rising more aggressively than people expect in the U.S., that's going to be very supportive of the dollar as well. Mm. That said, I mean, whether you're buying dollars, euros, pounds, all of this is a temporary parking spot. And it's a mechanism with which you should be investing in businesses that create earnings and value for customers. So, I still don't think I would just be saying let's go buy dollars and hold them. But and for that reason, you know, stable currencies are good currencies for me. We don't you know necessarily trade them actively. We kind of just use them for what they were designed for.
All right, that's Gary Boyson, who's a portfolio manager at Rand Suisse.